Hello, I'm Eric.
Hi, I'm Sydney.
And this is Hallmark Mysteries.
And more.
Okay, Sydney, today is a very exciting day. I know that you are especially excited for our guest today.
I am going to scream, Eric, but I won't because then everyone's ears will hurt. But yes, oh my gosh. This is so amazing.
So why Sydney is freaking out is we are so lucky is we have the opportunity to talk to Brennan Elliott, the star of so many Hallmark movies, but also for us, the star of Crossword Mysteries, Logan O'Connor, as well as the Flower Shop Mysteries, where he is Marco... some Italian last name. I don't remember what his actual last name was. What, help me out there, Sydney. What's his last name in that?
Oh, we got rid of that. We've got rid of that question.
Okay. I'll edit that out. I'll edit it out then. Okay. So we have Brennan Elliott, mega star of Hallmark, who is going to be talking to us today. So that's going to be very, very exciting.
So exciting. So exciting. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
The, so exciting. We were just talking that you do have an incredible super fan on the call with us right now, where Sydney is like, I was never into, you know, the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, but there's Brennan Elliott. I can't believe I'm going to talk to him. And as soon as you came on, she just went into fangirl mode and has lost it. So she doesn't speak for this.
Yeah, interview. Sorry.
I greatly apologize.
Apologize now. I'm apologizing.
You.
But that actually makes, before we, oh, sorry. Thank you very much, Brennan, for agreeing to be on our podcast, which is great. But I do have to ask the question is, with the reaction you just got from Sydney, is this kind of what you just go through life being so incredibly handsome that you just have women who can't talk when they see you? I don't have this problem. So I'm just curious of what it's like.
That's not a problem that I have very often, Eric, obviously. But, you know, I always say that when you have fans, you know, treat them with respect. They'll do the same unto you. And it warms my heart to know that, you know, we get in a little bubble in this business, and if you have a movie here or a character or you're doing something and people respond, it's amazing. So it warms my heart as much as it might fans to see me or meet me, or, you know, sometimes in an airport, you'll meet someone, they'll come over and they'll have a little Beatle moment, which just means that you're doing good enough work to make someone care. So it's a great warming and at times very humbling, because to see people respond to you like that is great. It really means that you're doing something right with the work. And as a person, I think that, you know, that's why we do it. We do it for the fans and people that watch our stuff and critique it or what have you. So it's been a great journey, especially the last number of years with Hallmark as well. So I don't take it for granted. Oh, I love it. I embraced it.
Yay. Okay. I won't feel too bad then.
No, please. It's amazing. Thank you.
All right. So one of the things we do for all of our guests in our episodes is we create a signature cocktail, and Sydney created one that's for you. So unfortunately we're not drinking. Usually we're drinking when we do these. So by the end of the podcast, they're far more interesting than at the beginning, but today we're doing this one, sans alcohol, but we are talking alcohol. But so Sydney, go ahead and introduce our cocktail of the week.
Yeah. So it is based off of the Crossword Mysteries and is called Guzzled and Puzzled.
I like
it. And it's a mix of red wine, apple brandy, a little bit of maple syrup, a little bit of lemon juice, and then some sprigs of thyme and an apple garnish. And
ooh.
It's earthy and refined, just like Logan O'Connor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got a little bite to it, a little sweetness, a little, yeah, it's got a lot of stuff. So that sounds delicious.
Yay.
I'm going to have to look back at that email and make it myself. It sounds lovely.
Now, what would be your drink of choice?
Normally, yeah.
Lately, I've just been kind of, just a light beer right now. I used to drink a lot of red wine. That was kind of my go-to. And, just kind of got out of the sugary stuff for a while, but probably just a light beer. I don't mind my tequila once in a while. I don't mind a little tequila. Nice. Let me be a vodka soda or some sort of spritzer. Maybe back in the day was red wine, but yeah, right now it's just a light beer.
Okay.
At cool. this point. Yeah. I'm pretty good when it comes to that stuff. I mean, I have friends of mine that know how to really, I went to Nikki DeLoach's house before Christmas after we wrapped one of our movies together, and she had all these cocktails that she knows how to make, and everybody was bringing on these different ideas. And I was like, I got to up my game. I got to get myself in the game. I'm sitting with a Coors Light and everybody's making these hikes. I felt like I was party, but it's great.
All right. Well, before we roll into it, we just want to take a moment and say that we read your good news about your wife, and which is absolutely fantastic. So, praying that everything keeps going. I think cancer has touched a lot of us. So when you get some good news from it, that it's always really good to hear. And so we are wishing you and your wife all the best.
Thank you so much, you guys. That means a lot. I mean, it's a terrible disease that hits everybody differently. And it's hit, I think, everybody on earth at some point in their lives. And it's something that I've gone through about 7 years now. We've had a number of cancers and for her, and she's a battler. And when you get that good news, you embrace it and just relish in it, because it doesn't happen often. So, but thank you very much. The fans have been incredible. Everybody's prayers and the good thoughts and just support. It's there's times when it's tough to go to work. Sometimes when at home, there's some struggles, but it's been a bit of a reprieve too, to be able to be creative at least, when that stuff's going on. And so she's a fighter. I think women are pretty strong. I think a lot of men might look at the journey she's been in. I've said it before and kind of go, you know what? My dad's going through a little prostate now. Not as serious as what my wife's gone through. And he's like, look, it's going to take me. I'm not going to quit my life. I'm going to live my life and play my golf and enjoy my beer and do my thing. And she's a fighter. So thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate that.
Awesome. All right. Okay. Well, let's roll then.
Well, something I didn't know about you and I saw when I was looking into your background is that you went to Juilliard.
Well, that's actually not true. I don't know where that
What? The internet is not true?
Well, no, I did a lot of training at a lot of places. I've been around did workshops at the Actor's Studio, Neighborhood Playhouse, Juilliard with Michael Kahn. He did a lot of different types of classes and stuff. And when I was living in New York for a number of years, I did a lot. I just soaked up everything I could. One of my mentors was a guy by the name of Eric Morris, who still trains here. He was Jack Nicholson, Pacino. He was part of the Actor's Studio and came out here. So I've just, I think every actor trains everywhere. You take pieces and things from different places. And it was a lot of decades of training, and then in the end you got to kind of find your own voice. But I pulled from everything, and they're all great institutions, but I haven't graduated from any one of those institutions. But I don't know where it was. A number of years ago somebody came out with that and I was like, really? And it's just kind of got its own thing, and so it's a great institution to be attached to, so I'll take it. But
okay,
I did a lot of workshops there and other places in New York. And then my main training was here. There's a book Johnny Depp talks about called No Acting Please. And it's by Eric Morris. And he's an incredible teacher. And I was with him for about 10 or 11 years when I was starting here in Los Angeles and had that base from New York. And so I think you're always learning and growing as an actor, as an artist. That's a great thing about a lot of these Hallmark movies that happen so quick. You get a chance to really work. If you're smart, you get a chance to work on your craft and on your instrument and develop and keep evolving. And as opposed to just, I'm just going to do a movie and I'll move on to the next. I look at it as an exploration and I've been lucky enough to play some diverse roles. And so you're always, it's always training, I think. It's a 24-hour day involvement, to me, but
Great. Right.
Well, we're talking about your craft. One of the things, because we just last week, our episode was, we did a deep dive into the crossword mysteries where we analyzed each episode and the overall series, the acting and everything. But one of the things you did in there was you had two of the movies where you danced. And then we also, to prepare for today, we binged The Flower Shop Mysteries, and you dance with Brooke in that.
And that's right.
Brooke, you really dance. You guys like clear out the whole floor, get the room around you. So the question I have is, you got the moves. Now, are you actually a trained dancer, or are you just a guy who's got rhythm? I mean, you've got looks and rhythm, and you're really trying to make me feel bad.
you train, and you know, I've done musical theater in New York. I mean, I've done stuff like that. It's not my forte. I mean, I used to do some singing and dancing, but I'm not a trained dancer. I remember when we did The Flower Shop, Brooke is and has done plenty of plays and danced a lot, and she's very, very skilled, and so she taught me a few notes. But I went and trained to learn how to do that dance with her, because I didn't want to look silly, obviously. And she helped me a lot with that, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and I've been lucky enough. That's the great thing about Hallmark, is you get a chance to really dance and sing and play these, you know, interesting, you know, types of skills that maybe isn't part of your forte. And but no, I'm not a skilled dancer. My wife likes to think I have a lot of rhythm, but it might look silly, but it's what I got going. But to learn a real skill and to a craft of dancing, I have a lot of respect for that. But it's not something that I'm trained in, but I enjoy doing it. Fun. It's nerve-wracking though, Eric. And I'll tell you, when they called me and said, you're going to be dancing with Brooke, and it's a whole ordeal. I went, Oh, so I had to go learn how to dance, and it's tough. It's not easy to learn how to do those kinds of things with someone who knows how to do it. And then she obviously worked with me a little bit, and I didn't look like a goof.
No, you looked,
but it was fun.
Like I said, you looked absolutely fantastic in that scene. That's why I was wondering if,
and then
you can say from your stage and stuff, if that you actually had the actual dancing background. So nope, just another thing, like I said, you're just putting me more to shame. So you got Sydney here all in like little fangirl mode, and you have me all here and like, oh man, envy mode. So all right,
well, I've done, but it's, you know, I've also worked with actors on, you know, off Broadway or maybe even in some other plays that were real dancers and singers, and there's a certain school to that, and I have a lot of respect for that. I went to, you know, institutions and worked with people. Just I'm a big believer. Focus on that one craft, and you know, try to make sure you're the best at that, because it's a competitive business. But there are people that can sing and dance, and I've been lucky enough to do a lot of that, singing and dancing in these Hallmark movies. And it's been scary at times, but it's a stretch. You stretch yourself. It's great, you know.
So I really enjoy your characters in the normal Hallmark movies and the mystery Hallmark movies. And also, I was a huge Warren Sagat fan on Cedar Cove. I miss that show. But what's different about being in a mystery, like a Hallmark mystery, versus like a normal Hallmark type of production?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when we did Flower Shop, I had never done a mystery before and didn't know the wheelhouses and the kind of mystery series at that point. And you know, you can take a little more risks with maybe a little more serious tones, or maybe some of the stories are not, you know, like I've done a lot of the obviously Hallmark Channel rom-coms and comedies, which is what, like with Warren, that's where it came from. It did a lot of comedy, and it was fun and it was light, and you have that kind of, you know, a lot of the fans, you know, you have the romance, you know what you're going to get, and that's important. That's what these are for. Whereas the mystery, it's a little more not on the nose, not, you know, the characters are a little more, it was a little more obviously mysterious, but the stories are a little, you can kind of get a little more deeper in the darker elements or something going, you know, like a little more personal, not so fluffy, which is not a good, not a bad thing. It's a great thing, you know? And like when you do the All My Heart franchises, those have a certain type of, they're like the Hallmark romances, and you know, yeah. You go into, I go them into them a little differently and have a lot of fun with those. And the mysteries, there's a little more of a, you know, hold on to your seat and a little more serious tones. And you guys, you know, there's a mystery and there's obviously someone has obviously been murdered or whatever. And there's a case, and obviously within the Hallmark and on brand, it's not, you know, we're not doing, you know, something on HBO Max. It's going to have someone, you know, showing death and, you know, all that stuff. So, and one of the things about Hallmark that I think is difficult if you have never done a Hallmark movie is trying to make choices, whether you're kissing someone or you're having romance or there's a murder or whatever, and doing it in a way where it's believable and honest, but also on brand, because a lot of our fans want to escape and they want to have that romance. And they want to go, they don't want to be watching, you know, the Zodiac Killer.
Definitely.
We've been lucky that they've given us free rein. I mean, I think Flower Shop had a lot of tongue in cheek and a lot of humor, and Brooke was lovely. And it was sad that we never got a chance. But to go back to your thing about Warren Saget, I mean, one of the funny things, I wasn't well liked in the very beginning, but a lot of fans were guy. He's so mean. And I just kept, he's misunderstood. But then, you know, once again, you get to play a really rich character who's kind of the antagonist, and it's still, which was great in Hallmark, you can still find the humor within the seriousness. And yes, at times in the beginning, and then you find it and you go, wow, okay, now I get the tone. And I've been really allowed to play a lot of diverse characters, different tones, different shows, mystery, both back and forth. You know, Gift of Peace was on the Christmas Miracles, which I'd never done that before. So it's been really, they trust me, and that I take that, it humbles me enough to know that they trust me enough to go off, try to play these different characters in these different tones. But it is different. You got to be able to come into it and know that you're going to have your romance and you're going to have your humor, which is important. I try to bring all that to everything, but it's a little more of a serious, you know, all the mysteries have a little more of that seriousness to it. And you do it in a way that's on brand and on point. But, you know, my main thing is just to look at every movie and every character from a place of truth and try to make them human and three-dimensional and believable and still on point. And so the audience they're entertained, you know? So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Crossword for just a second here. And
sure,
when you look at the whole premise of it, it's, you know, Lacey's Tess Harper, who's this crossword editor, and you're the New York cop. And if you think about it, there's the literal sense of what the crossword puzzle is, the clues and, you know, figuring out. But it also seems like it's a metaphoric thing of what solving crimes are like. You know, you get your clues, you got to figure it out between you being the cop. So while she is the, you know, the puzzle expert, and one of the things I really liked about the series is it really brought those skills into the plots. But
right,
am I overreading that, you know, because it is a Hallmark mystery after the thing, but am I overreading that it is like a metaphor of what it is being a cop and solving these mysteries?
Not at all, Eric. I think you're bang on. I mean, when I was offered to do this with Lace, I kind of was like, well, how are we going to do this? Because, you know, to me, from my perspective, every case, you know, when I did research, I went to the Glendale Police Department, spoke to a lot of the detectives there. Every case is a puzzle. You know, you're trying to put a puzzle together to find out who had committed this crime or who had obviously done whatever. And so we brought that in. So we would have kind of tone meetings, or we would have, rewrites or read-throughs, or obviously developing the story with the network. We wanted the audience to feel like they were putting together a puzzle metaphorically, which I think is a great way to put it, Eric, is that they're not doing a puzzle, but it's a metaphor for putting the pieces together. And our, you know, one of the great things about the writers is we had a lot of rewrites because we wanted it to be difficult for the audience to put the pieces together, to feel like you're putting pieces together metaphorically, but at the same time, still be on brand and still have that humor and that romance and that kind of tongue in cheek back and forth. And, you know, there was a couple I felt I have my favorites of those five. I'm sad to say, I don't think they're going to go any further because I think I just read that Lacey's doing something with Will Kemp. So I think that ship has sailed, and I've been in discussions of maybe doing a mystery series or a wheelhouse of my own. So we're kind of branching out into different areas, but the fans loved it. They felt engaged, you know, because it was not just, okay, someone died and we're going to find out who the killer is. It's like those little clues that we would put in. People would have to watch them and go, what's going on there? Is it her? Is it him? And so it did have metaphorically that. And I'm glad you said that, because that was something that was very important to us in tone meetings, was like, this is a metaphor. It's not just a whodunit. It's we want the audience to be engaged almost to the end, where they're trying to put a puzzle together and they don't have the answers. And then when they finally do, metaphorically speaking, they're engaged, not just as a viewer, but also, you know, with the case, because a lot of them can be very similar. And this one was a little.
As we did our deep dive, one of the things when we did the overall series that we said was, this is one of the series where for all five episodes, we never knew who the eventual, you know, bad guy was. Because like one of them, there wasn't a killer, an abracadaver, but that was the big twist. But every single one of them is such a good job of leading you the one path, leading the other path, and always having that doubt. So in our evaluation of mysteries, this is one of the best in that aspect. So one other thing that you just made me think of, you're talking about the writers. So Will Shortz, was he an actual writer, or is he just like, hey, I have this idea?
He was, yeah. He never wrote anything in the script. He was kind of it was his idea. Cause obviously he works for the New York, right. You know, he does all the puzzles. The idea came from him, and how could we incorporate puzzles and that kind of experience as a person dealing with a puzzle of putting the pieces together in a franchise, you know, under the Hallmark brand. And he kind of was instrumental in giving us the impetus to go ahead with writers, but he didn't write anything. We obviously, he was in every movie as far as like I had a scene here and there, I think. Most of them. And he had a lot of fun playing that. And he's a genius human being. I mean, he's brilliant. I mean, intellectually, he sees a world in a way that I don't have that mechanism. Everything's like an algorithm. It's like, well, the sun is doing this and the vacuolized molecular forces are doing that. I'm going, great. No, it's just gray sky, bro. Like, I don't really know where you're going with it. So he's really brilliant. I read some scripts. It's the only series that I've done in at Hallmark specifically, where I'd have to really read the script 4 or 5 times before I started to kind of explore the character. Cause it didn't make sense to me half the time. I'd be watching and going, even Lacey and I would make jokes. Do you know who did it? Are we on the right path? And we're in it, because it was so complex and there were so many things. And that's the one thing I did love about it, was it was very different. Obviously Flower Shop was a little more on the nose, and you have some of the other series which were great and they're kind of similar, but this was we took a risk. You know, you throw the dart in the wind and you see if you can hit a bullseye, and sometimes we did and sometimes I felt like we needed a clearer perspective on some stories. But the audience really, really loved it, and they've been clamoring for more. And you know, you never know what the future holds. But yeah, he was a big integral part of the idea. And then we just, Hallmark and NPCA, and we just got the writers together and we started to develop from there. But yeah.
Well, like you said, he did have those little cameos. So what do Sydney and I have to do to have the cameo in this upcoming mystery that you've got going? I can play a dead person really well.
My dad's been for a cameo since I did Cedar Cove, and I think it was last Christmas countdown, we were in New York, and I was talking to one of the execs. I said, you know, a lot of these fans and these people that are really, really rabid fans, we should try to have some sort of award thing where they get to be on a set, you know, whoever wins for some reason, because they're really, really dedicated and committed and really supportive. So I think it'd be great to have, you know, to have you guys on, or anybody on for that matter. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Think I would win an award with my laying down on the ground. I don't
know. Eric, you'd play a great dead guy. Is that right?
Exactly. Well, dead body number 4.
Yes.
That'd be great. I'm in. I love it.
Oh, man. Okay, something I was discussing with Eric was the evolution of your character Logan's style. So starting in the first episode, you were very buttoned up, you were wearing a tie, your hair was super coiffed.
Yeah.
And then like as the series progresses on, you know, you've got longer hair, you're losing the tie, you're wearing a leather jacket. Now, is this something, you know, I'm reading too much into, or was this maybe also tying into your relationship with Tess? Like as you're getting more comfortable with her, your style is relaxing a bit.
Yeah.
You're not quite as buttoned up as you were in the first compared to the last.
That's a good point. You know, it's interesting. When I started the first movie, he was a rookie detective. So he was brand new to this kind of, he was taking on his dad gave him his first real case. And when I was talking to the detectives and I was meeting a lot of these guys doing research, we had, I think, almost 2 weeks before. So I like to do a little bit of research if I have the time. A lot of the guys that were new were trying, like in any job, to be perfect, to do it right, to look the part and to kind of be, you know, buttoned up. And as you got more grizzled and you became more street smart and you've seen more and you've been hardened, you kind of, that kind of, the mystique goes away. And so I wanted to show that Logan was maturing and growing as a character and becoming a lot more affected by his surroundings. He wasn't so, you know, he wasn't so polished and buttoned up. He'd been through a little bit more life experience by seeing some of these cases, and also his relationship with her. He kind of became more comfortable with her. And a lot of that was obviously a choice character-wise. And I'm glad you noticed that, because a lot of people are going, gosh, every movie you do, you're like, look so different. But that's a choice that I make. Now, that being said, when the old regime was a part of this movie, this, obviously we have obviously had a switch over at Hallmark, but the people that were there before, they hated my hair in the first movie and wanted me to grow it out, which I agreed, but I'd never had that haircut before. And they all had that kind of really short and top on the top. It was a little longer. So I went to this barber and I said, I want to look like, and I had a couple of photos of some detectives, and I said, I want to look like this because I'm a rookie. And the guy went way too short on the side. Like, it just was like a bus. And I went, oh, and then our movie got pushed. So it was, you know, and then they said, you know, do you want to grow your hair longer? I said, yes, I will. Absolutely. That's part of it. We're okay with it. But truth be told, it is a character choice, but I don't think on that first one, they wanted my hair to stay like that for very much longer. We were still finding it too, right, Sydney? Like, we were finding the relationship, the character. How do we get Tessa's character involved in the case?
Right.
How does our relationship go? And then just that relaxation. And it's like any relationship. You meet somebody, you want to be perfect, you want to be on your best behavior. And then as time you get relaxed and you get to see who you really are, good or bad. But the character choice, that was something I wanted to do, but also might have been also stimulated by the network going, you look better with longer hair. We can see your scalp. All right. Whatever you want. You guys, it's beyond my pay grade. I'll do whatever you want. So.
So she was.
I love how your hair turned out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually liked it better when he by movie 18, I'd look like, you know, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. I'd probably have hair.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. Let's see it.
So you was talking about your style there in Crossword Mysteries. I do have one question about Marco over there in Flower Shop. You wore this leather band on your wrist there. Now, is that a Marco thing or is that a Brennan?
No, that was a Marco. When I was younger and I was living in New York, I had a really good friend of mine named Mark who was really hip. He was kind of a skater, and he had these leather bands that he made for all of us when we would study. Like, he would give all the guys these leather bands and beads for the girls. He was kind of a really gregarious kind of character, and I had a couple. And when I was creating him and working on him, and he owned a bar, and I wanted him to have a little more of this kind of earthy hipness to him. And so I had one in my office at my old house, not here, but in my old house. And I thought, I want to put this on. Maybe this, would he wear something like this? And it just, and the producer and the director saw it and they go, was that yours or wardrobe or props? I said, no, it's mine. He goes, keep it. We love it. And it just kind of became something that I kept in. Just to give more of that kind of, he owns a bar. He's kind of more hip. He's kind of, you know, he's that kind of a cat. So, it was kind of just another character choice and they liked it. And they usually let it go and say, whatever you want to do, Brennan, just do it. It usually works out. So.
No, it's funny. Yeah. It's like, I usually don't notice those things. Sydney notices those, but that's that little band. I did notice.
Very observant. Very, very observant.
While we would love more crossword mysteries, which now kind of seems like maybe not doing this, you're not doing them anymore, but we'd love more. We also felt like the ending was a perfect conclusion to the series, because a lot of times we don't get any ending. It's like all of a sudden they stop making these movies, but it felt like that last movie was really nice because you guys had like a really heartfelt discussion. You had the long lingering looks. Yep. You had the perfect kiss. Is there anything about that scene you would have done any differently, or how would you like it to end, possibly, if there were more? Or like, how would you wrap things up in a bow? Did you think that was a good conclusion? What are your thoughts on that?
It's retrospect now. I look at it and I go, okay, if we're not going to do any more, that was a great way to end it, because we finally had the kiss. We finally got connected. And our characters obviously expressed their feelings for each other through that moment, you know, over the food and the kiss and the whole thing. And it kind of came back to that first movie where I say, you know, thank you for getting yourself involved, or thank you for, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of came full circle. But at the time, I thought it was just our fifth movie. We were supposed to do three or four more, and I never thought much of it. I thought in the very, very end, if the last moment would be, my father and I talked about this, the character, John Capellas, thought we'd hire her at the department. She'd be working with us, and we would actually be a team on every single case. And then you really would get us not only, you know, her at the Sentinel coming in, but now we're working together because she's so brilliant with this,
yeah,
you know, deciphering algorithms and the puzzles and everything else, which is obviously not Logan's skill. And so you have these opposites that can attract, and you can see that romance really go from movie to movie and get deeper and deeper. Kind of like a heart to heart type thing was something that we really talked about, where they solve crimes together. We hadn't gotten to that point because obviously the movies are obviously, I think are finished, but I think it would have been where she would be hired by the department. Maybe she, you know, gets a leave of absence from working at the and stuff, and that's her job because she has a passion to solve these crimes, and we need someone like that. I mean, the FBI has people like that in forensics and everything. Yeah. And then we're in every scene together, almost we're solving together, and there's like the, you know, she does things her way that annoys Logan and vice versa. And I thought that would have been really funny, kind of like a heart-to-heart type
that's
thing.
Exactly.
And
what I was thinking,
yeah, it would have been really great. And unfortunately, you know, we're not, it doesn't look like, and look, it's beyond my pay grade, we might do more down the road, I don't know. But I'm not saying that I have any inner knowledge on whether or not we're doing more. But like I said, they've talked to me about having some sort of franchise on my own, and Lacey's obviously working with Will and Detective. So that would probably tell me that ship sailed. But I would have seen that would have been the future, where it wouldn't have been, you know, we have a case and we got to bring her in and she shows up, which at times was tough to make believable. I think we work together and the romance really ensues because we're really solving cases. We're burning the candles together at both ends. And then it's kind of like that Scarecrow, Mrs. King, or heart of a lot of those kinds of things, which I thought might've been fun, but
yeah,
you know,
I assume you know that the Mystery 101 fans are just rabid and so upset, you know, that was left on a cliffhanger, whereas you weren't, but they also think that Mystery 101 is the greatest thing on the planet. And while it is a great series, the one thing that Sydney and I had said was that kiss at the end, that between you and Lacey, that was probably the best kiss in the mystery whole wheelhouse. And we know, and we've been getting it from all the Mystery 101 folks who are like, no, Travis and Amy, Travis and Amy. But that kiss, at least between Sydney and me, that is the number one kiss in the whole mystery thing. That was a hot, you guys brought it. Hot.
Social heat to it too. Social media went a little bananas when that was aired, and I even on the day Lacey was like, she's such, you know, obviously she's so endearingly sweet, but she's like, is it too early, are people gonna like that, you think? I go, trust me, it's gonna go, it's what they want, you know. I'm friends with Christopher Palaha and Jill Wagner, and obviously every fan, you know, look, that's the great thing about the Hallmark universe. You have your kind of favorites and fans like this, they like that, and that's fine. That's what we're here for, to bring diversity and to bring different types of content. Their show was great. Ours was great. And they're very different shows. I mean, they're not even close to the same as context, but, you know, and then you had Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, which was its own little franchise. So there's a lot of whatever you want to have on your plate, it's there. And yeah, they didn't have that moment where maybe our, and so that's what I was saying to Sydney. In retrospect, I think that if it was to end after five, we actually got an opportunity to have that ending. Unbeknownst to us at the time, but yeah, the 101 fans and Crossword, they were like this neck and neck all the time. I like this show, you know, and that's part of the great thing about the Hallmark universe and the fan base is, you know, everybody's got their thing they like and they don't like, and they're rabid. Absolutely, I agree.
Well, actually, what we're about to do starting tomorrow is we're doing the March Mystery Madness, where we have all the mysteries from 1 through 25. We're going old school, back to the first ones like McBride and Mystery Woman.
Oh wow!
And we're doing a bracket style, so to the finals. So we'll see what the fans say is the number one mystery. So.
Oh, you know, hey, just
you can,
being
you,
just
you
being
can vote.
I'll probably vote. Oh yeah, if I do vote, I'll keep it in the family for sure.
Oh, you're actually one of the few people who will have a tough choice because you have two different ones to vote on, since you were both in Flower Shop and Mystery or Crossword.
franchise, I'm talking to them now about trying to find something for myself to do, because I find that they're really, look, the rom-coms are great because you get engaged, you know how they all end up, but these sometimes you can take a little more risk and really kind of deal with storylines that maybe on the Hallmark Channel itself with the rom-coms you can't, and they're a lot of fun to make, and so I think they'll be around, and they're obviously developing new ones. The Aurora Tea Garden, they're doing a new Aurora Tea Garden.
Yes.
So they're going to have a lot of content for the fans. So it'll be interesting.
Well, we threw out idea. We do a thing on every Wednesday, a Would You Rather, and we pitted who would you rather solve mysteries. It was you or Niall Matter. And you guys, both of you and Niall, came back on Twitter and were saying, why don't we just do it together? So that's where we came up with our brothers in crime.
Very funny you say that, because we, Eric or Niall, are good friends. And whenever we see each other, it's just a lovely guy. And we talked about, obviously you have the man and the woman, and it's these shows are very, very predominantly the number one on the call sheets, the woman. And that's just the network, and that's what they do. And it's great. And I said, he goes, maybe we should do like a mystery. It's, we're two brothers and we're, from different, we don't get along and we bicker and we're like, and I said, if I wanted to work with anybody, that'd be great. Niall's great. And he's got his own little mystery series now, his new one with Janelle Parrish, I think.
Yeah.
So, and good for him. And yeah, he's a great guy. And that's a lot of fun. I have people on my social media, on my Instagram saying, is this legit? Is this really happening? Are you too-? And I'm like, no, I'm not sure. That hasn't been, obviously discussed. It'd be great. They would love to see it, So anyway, we'll see.
So something in the mysteries that Eric and I discussed on the last episode was that he mentioned, and I mentioned, how like crazy like the stunts are, kind of, in some instances. Like I was saying in the first episode, when you flip that guy on the roof, it's like, wow, that was a flip, man. He hit the ground really hard. Yeah. Do you do a lot of your stunts? And Eric, I think you wanted to know that too.
I do. I listen, stunt people, that they're geniuses at doing stunts. That's their thing. But I like to go as far as I can until I feel unsafe, obviously. So our stunt coordinator there educated me on how to do the flip and everything else. The other actor was fine with it, and we did it. And if it doesn't look on camera as good, then they'll bring somebody else in. But I like to push, I'm not Tom Cruise. I'm not flying out of planes, but or will we ever even do that on Hallmark? But no, I like to push it as far as I can. I remember the scene. I can't remember which movie. I might have been the first one where I'm running and I'm jumping over. I'm at the very end. I'm running and running and running through the park.
Yeah.
I did that 10 times because we needed to get the camera, which never happens in these movies. You get maybe two takes if you're lucky, but we had the time because we're shooting at night. And I mean, I was just bolting as fast as I could. And I remember I had to jump over but the guy that was the actor I was chasing, he wasn't very fast. So I caught him all the time. So we had to go back and hit the stunt guy for him. But I like to do my own stunts. I find it fun. And I've done other movies where I've done some pretty crazy stuff, and that won't obviously happen on Hallmark, but yeah, I like to do my own stunts and my own driving and everything else until a point where I go, okay, I'm out of my comfort zone here. I'll let somebody else who's better than me do this. And they'll bring a stunt person in, but usually I try to do them. Yeah. And that night we shot that scene. I remember that because it was like 4 a.m. or something when we finished it on the balcony with her and I, and it was cold and we didn't have enough. We had to leave that area by 6. We had to get the shot, and it was so. There's a lot of these things that go into making these, and I said, "Let's just do it. I don't need the stunt guy. Let's just do it." And luckily, the guy trusted me, and we did it safely, and no one got hurt, and it turned out. So, but yeah, I flew him pretty good.
I was like, "Wow!" The gravel went.
Yeah, he hit pretty hard, and he had a back brace on. I mean, he was fine, but yeah, I was just like, "Wow, that's my." My Bruce Lee moment, I felt like, yeah,
but it was fun. We saw that.
All right. Let's jump ahead a little bit to the flower shop mysteries. So
sure.
We think that's actually one of the most underrated mysteries, because the movie was just, like you say, it wasn't as heavy, or the crossword was just a different level of there. This one was, I think, lighter, more tongue in cheek, as you said. It was fun capers. So can you just talk a little bit about how it was, and you said it was your first, how it was different, that experience versus the experience you had on Crossword?
Well, I agree with you. You know, it was, she, I think, wanted to, she's done a lot of that kind of comedy where she was, you know, the modern day Lucille Ball kind of, you know, Brooke gets a little bit of that. She wanted to make this girl kind of tongue in cheek and funny and goofy and have that kind of humor, which I thought was lovely. And it was a nice, nice dynamic. You know, the murder mysteries were kind of on the nose. So it wasn't as thought provoking as maybe Crossword was as far as figuring it out. But that's what Crossword's niche was the puzzles and the solving and putting all the pieces together. Whereas I think Flower Shop was more the relationship between the two of them and the banter back and forth and the humor, and which obviously Crossword had, but that was what it was. I remember the very first day I got on set and I'd met Brooke, and she's very tall and she's a lovely lady. And I remember I looked into the store and it's called Flower Shop Mysteries. Well, we were in this little store in North Bay, Ontario, and Eric and Sydney, we had no flowers in the flower shop. There was no flower. And I remember one of our techs came in and goes, we have Brooke Shields, we've got Brennan Elliott, and we have Flower Shop Mysteries. We're missing one important element. Flowers. Flower. So we shot another couple of scenes while they redressed it. We came in, and then there was too many flowers. It was like going to a funeral. It was like flowers every. It was very, very funny. In retrospect, I just that was so funny. But anyway, yeah, I mean, we were finding our niche. And we only did three, which was surprising to me. I thought that had a real interesting banter back and forth and tongue-in-cheekness, light and funny and fluffy enough that the audience would have been, and they loved, and they, to this day, people still ask, are you going to do more of those? I mean, you know, I think the last one we shot was in 2016 or something. So, you know, I don't know, beyond my pay grade, the decisions that get made are not mine. I just, when they say, this is what you're going to do, you try to do your best. But she was lovely to work with. Bradley Walsh, our director, was great. And we had a lot of fun making him. In North Bay in the winter, I mean, right. Which is, and it's 50 below. And she was great. And it was sad to see the show not end. I don't know really the reasons why. I don't know if it was maybe Brooke didn't want to do them, or maybe there was some, you know, I don't know what the reasons were, but the fans were not, much like with Crossword, they were not happy and they wanted more of them. And so I told the network, I said, let's find something else for me to do in that franchise world, because I want the fans to, you know, you want your fans to be happy. It's the most important. So
we actually talked it was an about that.
Very different shows, you know.
Sorry, we talked about that a little bit, that there's no fake Hallmark snow in that one. When you guys were out there, you are definitely in the winter.
Yeah, there was, and we did two back to back right between December and then January, February. And I remember it was so cold. I mean, look, I'm originally from Calgary, Alberta. I'm Canadian, so I know cold, but it was bitter, bitter, bitter. And we shot like 4 or 5 days straight outside, and they would bring in the big, you know, snow blowers, and there'd be like 30, 40 feet of snow on each side of the streets. And I'm going, holy, this is crazy. And you wanted it to look like New York and different time, you know, it's just, but we made the best of what we had. And there was a lot of wonderful work in there. We had some good guest stars, and her and I had a lot of really fun scenes. And yeah, she's a lovely lady. It's too bad they didn't do more of them, but you know, like I said, it's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope that there's more, because if Murder, She Baked can come back, then so can everything else.
Well, Murder, She Baked, is that, that's the Alison Sweeney series? Is that,
yeah.
That's coming, Cameron and stuff. And yeah, I mean, Garage Sale Mysteries, they did 25 of them at one time, I think, or so. So we had high hopes to do a lot of those, and it did very well for the network, and so did Crossword. So I don't know where these decisions get made, but you know, I know that if I have my own franchise, where I'm going to try to make sure that we get a few in a year, and if the audience, you know, here's the thing, it's a very simple process, and I know that Hallmark really listens to their fans. If they like it, there's no reason for it to you know, to not be on the air. You know, I'm sure it'll do well. So we'll see what the future. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do both those series. I had a lot of fun doing them both, and they're both very different. They're just, one's a real thought provoking audience inclusive, trying to put the pieces together, and another one is and they both have elements of that heart to heart element, you know, the man and the woman together solving crimes. But it had a lot more of that banter and that humor and that kind of tongue in cheek, and you know, obviously her friend that ran the store with her. And then, you know, I just, it was a lot of fun to do. And I got a chance to play this kind of cool bar owner, like this kind of, which was, it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. So speaking of Marco being the cool bar owner, what's your favorite thing to order at a restaurant, or is there some special recipe that you like to make for your family?
If I'm eating clean and I'm training, and usually my thing is usually during the week, if I'm training, I'll eat fairly clean. So it's pretty boring, but if I have a cheat meal, usually I'll go to a good burger or good pizza or something like that. You know, there's a little place out here. I was actually thinking about going there tonight because Saturday's nights are usually my kind of cheat night where I just eat what I want. There's a little place called George's Pizzeria, but it's ran by this Armenian family. And they won best pizza in Burbank like 8 years in a row. And they have a Mexican pizza. So fly with me. You've got an Italian restaurant ran by Armenians, but the pizza's a Mexican pizza. And I heard about this like 12 years ago. And my buddy said it's the best pizza I ever had. So you know, living in New York, I know my pizza. So I went and I had it. Bar none, best pizza I've had anywhere on the planet Earth ever. And so that would be, you know, a good pizza's good, you know, a good, I'm not eating any really red meat, but a good steak would have been back in the day. Good burger if I do have a craving of red meat. But I'm a bit of a foodie. I like to go to restaurants and order nice food and have a nice, you know, bottle of wine, or good company is always good. And you don't need to spend a lot to have good food. There's a lot of great places with really, really good food. Wow. And I'm the cook of the family. And I'm pretty simple in my cuisine, but my son is, you know, he'll eat anything, you know, he'll eat anything. And so I think it frustrates my wife. She'll come home, and that's the thing when you have a family of four. I want to have something that's clean and this, and then she has her cuisine because she's Korean. So she likes to have that kind of certain template on her palate. And my son eats anything and my daughter doesn't eat anything.
Oh,
so wars. What's for tonight? They'll come home and be like, what do you want to do for dinner? And we'll have four different answers. You know, one will want to go for sushi. One will want to go have a burger. One will have pizza. One won't want to eat. And it'll just be this like, and so, but no, I do. I love my food. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. So I have two kids. So I know exactly what you're going through. And my one, I remember one night at dinner, we had something with rice, white rice, and he was throwing the thing where he's gagging and saying, this is too spicy, white rice. So I know exactly what you're talking about with your one kid who won't eat anything.
That's like my daughter, yeah. It's just spicy. No, it's not spicy at all, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go on a field trip to George's because I'm in Orange County. So I'm like, I'm going to have to go up to Burbank to...
I don't know what they do to this. I mean, it's got the beef and the jalapenos, and it's just, there's something about this pizza that is, and regular crust, don't do the thin, because I think that kind of, you lose a little bit of its panache. It's really, really good. Anybody that I know is a pizza connoisseur, and they're willing to have some slaw. They go there and they're always complaining, like, come on, it can't be that good. And every time they leave, they go, bro, that was ridiculous. And I'm like, I told you. So yeah, it's worth the trip. And it's just a small little place. They got Sinatra music playing and candles. There's maybe 10 tables. It's not, you know, it's not overdone, or it's not a fancy joint. You know, the prices are good. Food is so good.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you talked about being with Brooke Shields and how she was amazing. But, you know, I'm a Gen X guy. I'm a little bit older than you. And Brooke Shields at the, you know, and if you go back to the 80s, she is as big as a star could be. Every single, like, I don't know how many prepubescent boys got, you know, thrown into puberty because of Brooke Shields. I mean, goddess, right? Nothing comes between me and my Kelvins. So when you find out you're going to be starring, this is a two-part question, by the way, you're going to be starring opposite Brooke Shields. I mean, Brooke freaking Shields, for God's sakes. Like, what's going through your head? And then secondly, the second half of it is then, like, part of the funny thing of the Marco character, the Marco Abby dynamic, is how Marco is like, hey, I want to date you. I wanted this. And you always get so close and it's always denied. And so I know, and we talked to Benjamin Ayers, and he says, yeah, the kiss in these movies isn't you know, romantic. You got the boom mic in you, you've got the makeup. It's like, you know, it's obviously so fabricated, but still, like, just the opportunity to kiss Brooke Shields and knowing that you got denied it.
Like, yeah,
Marco gets denied it and Brennan gets denied it.
I'm still hurt by that, Eric. I'm still feeling it. You know, it's funny, when I first started doing all these Hallmark movies, these projects, my mom and dad, my mom said, well, now you've made it, because that's what she watches, is these Hallmark movies. And when I got into a movie with Brooke Shields, my dad, who was very quiet, my stepdad, he's a very, very quiet guy. He called me up and we were talking on FaceTime. I said, I'm going to be working with Brooke Shields. Like, I mean, the Brooke Shields. And my dad goes, finally, you've made it. And I, you know, obviously I kissed many co-stars and done series with other women, but he was a big Brooke Shields. Oh yeah. Like, massive. I remember the last couple of scenes we shot were in her house when I came over with the bottle of wine, then that there was a fireplace and that kiss was going to happen. And then the phone call came and we weren't picked up to do a fourth yet. No one had called us. And Brooke and I were talking, well, maybe we should do one take where we do kiss at the end of the movie, in case it doesn't come back, to wrap things up. You know, you always try to plan. And our producers were like, no, we're going to have more. Don't worry. We're obviously, inevitably, we didn't. But I would have had some street cred if I kissed Brooke Shields, I think. My dad might have started to treat me a little better.
I mean, like you say, Lacey, she's superstar, you know, outside of Hallmark world as well and everything. But yeah, Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
And then,
but I've been very lucky to. Stars for sure.
And then the last thing we kind of talked a little bit, as you said, she's a tall woman and you and I are about the same height, so we're not short guys. That last one, Dearly Departed, when she's in the wedding dress, the ridiculous wedding dress, first of all, but she's also got heels on. Like, how does that she's got to be 6'3" or something.
At 5'11", I don't really, I mean, with Lacey being so tiny, she sometimes have to sit, you know, in apple box, but we don't, you know, I wanted to play that up a little bit at times. I wanted, because she was so tall, I thought that would have been, there's a lot of room for humor in that.
Yeah.
We didn't play it, but that day I remember getting to set, I'm 5'11", I'm wearing regular dress shoes and she's 6'1", and then she has 5-inch heels. I mean, she was like 6'6". And I remember that during the day too. You know, and I'm just going, God, this girl is huge. You're so tall. And it added, when I watched, I thought it would have been a concern. But when I watched, I thought, that's kind of, it's very funny. It's kind of cute and funny and endearing. But yeah, she always would wear, you know, flip-flops or short. I mean, she's still tall, but she's not, you know, it's not like it's abnormal when you're 5'11", when someone's 6'6", 6'1". But when they put high heels on, then you realize, you know, I kept saying to the director, I go, I just want this not to read that I'm insecure right now. Okay, at 5'11" and hitting the ceiling in these high heels. But she was such a, and that whole dance sequence at the wedding, I mean, she really kind of, she kind of choreographed that whole thing. It was a lot of fun to work with her. But yeah, she's, you know, she was like one of the biggest models in the world, I guess, in the 80s, you know, and they're all so. But yeah, you gotta be comfortable in your skin when you're working with someone that tall, you know.
Well, they made fun of it in that episode where the mom of the bride looked at her and was like, you know, what are you doing wearing heels? Wear flats or something. But so you're talking about the biggest model. I was having lunch with my son yesterday, who he's 22 years old and it was his friend. And I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to you today. And one of the things is I'm going to ask you about Brooke Shields. And he's like, who? And I'm like,
I know.
And I put in perspective, I'm like, who is it? I'm like, this is the Kendall Jenner. Like, think of Kendall Jenner. That's how big Brooke Shields was. And then he could understand. So,
yeah, I'm 47. And when I was in elementary or junior high school, she was everywhere. I mean, it wasn't like, I don't know if they have stars like that now. I mean, she was as big or the big, like, she would tell me stories. We'd sit after work and she'd be like, there was a time when I couldn't even walk out in public. Like, I couldn't go out in the street, just mobbed, because she was so visible and so famous and so a part of our culture that, that, you know, you don't see a lot of that as much anymore, because social media makes everybody a part of part of the culture. It's not like back then, we didn't have the internet. And so when someone was big, they were really, really big. But you know, one of the things, Eric and Cindy, to get back to Brooke, she is so down to earth. She is so funny in real life and calm and really wants to do a good job. There was no star arrogance about her at all, which was so, it was so endearing to me, and I felt so comfortable right from the get up. Never met her, but she was lovely to work with and such a great human being. And I can realize why people speak highly of her, you know, because she was cool.
Well, you guys, came across, because like you said, you had great chemistry, but it's one of the few series too, where there was no, where, you know, when you're Logan, you're telling Lacey, you know, get out of, you know, stop being nosy, this and the other. Whereas right from the beginning, they were kind of like the nosy people together, even though Marco had his background, you know, he's a bar owner at this time. Yeah. So they kind of were these like nosy sleuths together, and that's what made it fun. And she was, when you guys did your stakeouts, the stakeout scenes with her and her little cap and everything, which she did multiple, it was hilarious.
Those were fun. When she goes, I got this and I got this, and I'm like,
yeah.
You know, that kind of, I look back at of all the movies that I've done, and I don't know, I mean, I think I've done 25 of them now in multiple series, and there's certain movies there's a scene or two where you go, oh man, I miss doing that movie, or I miss working with that person. And those scenes when we would do stakeouts were, I mean, the only problem I had was that the hairdresser that we had, they wanted, because she had such big hair, they wanted my hair to be short and kind of militant and everything else. And so they did this, I don't know if you watch, when we do one of my stakeouts, there's a side view of me and my hair looks like Pee Wee Herman and Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. And I remember that day, and Brooke was like, we should mess up his hair. What's going on? Well, the network wants it like this. Well, no, they don't. Let's mess it up. Anyway, we lost. Brooke was vetoed, and we had that hair. And I still to this day look at it and go, that's funny. It's funny. At the day, you're annoyed when it happens. You're like, oh, I look like a goofball. But it just added to the mystique of this relationship, that he's trying so hard to be perfect for her, you know, with his hair, cool, and everything else. Even when he's by the fireplace, the house, and he's like, well, I better look and see if anybody's here. He's just trying so hard to woo this girl. And it was in the writing, and it was a lot of fun. And she never complained about it. She wasn't like, I don't want to do this. She was just up for anything. And when you have a star that's been at that level to be so open to exploring, it wasn't about Brooke. It was about making sure we did a good show. And I found that really incredible, just because, you know, sometimes you get somebody who's at that level, you might be like, and her husband is Will Ferrell's producing partner. And so they have stock of people that could easily have been like, you know, who's this? What I want to rewrite it. I don't like this. That never came across at all. They were gung-ho, and they jumped in, and it was, yeah. You know, sometimes I forget about Flower Shop because it seems so long ago, but there were some really good moments with her and I that I wish we could have extended that series as well. So much like with Lace and Crossword, but you know, I always say beyond my pay grade, make those decisions.
Yeah. So you've worked with so many of the great Hallmark leading ladies. I mean, Brooke, Lacey, all of them. And we were just saying you've worked with all the Wedding Veil ladies, Allie, Autumn, all of them.
Yeah.
So are there any Hallmark leading ladies that you haven't worked with yet that you would like to get into a movie with?
Oh, I mean, you know, I had never worked with Nikki, got an opportunity. We were going to do...
Yeah.
There was one movie I didn't end up doing. I couldn't because I was filming something else at the time. And then there was another movie that my wife was going through some stuff. So I couldn't really do that one. And then Andrew Walker and them did one. And then so when they brought the gift of peace, I said, well, who's the co-star? And they said, Nikki DeLoach. And I said, then I'm doing it, before I even read it. Because, I mean, I wanted to work with her because I know her. And there's so many. So actually, I mean, there's so many actresses at the network that are so strong and so fun, and that I haven't had a chance to work with, that if I keep doing more, I might run out of them, you know. But, you know, I mean, Lacey's done a lot, Andrew, myself. I mean, we've done a lot of them because I love doing them and I love working for the network. But yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity to work with so many and look forward to working with everyone. I know it sounds kind of cliche and polite, but no, I don't, there's nobody I won't work with. Obviously I don't I don't think I'd ever say no to anybody, but yeah, I am excited to see what the future holds, because there's so many that I haven't worked with, and there's such a new breed of,
yeah,
of actors are coming in too. You know, and so yeah, the future looks hopeful though. I'll get a chance to work with some of these, and they've all been great, and they're all very different, and I've been very, very lucky, knock on wood. I've never had really an experience where I went away going, whoa, that chemistry. You know, because chemistry is a really sexy word that people talk about, but it's not as easy as people think. I mean, you could be chemistry. It not only comes from just getting along and working, but you got to also, sometimes you got to work with your craft to manipulate a situation and make something believable so it does work. And I take pride in the fact that, you know, I try to have the best chemistry with everybody I work with for that specific movie, and been very lucky to work with some really talented actresses that I can do that, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I, whoever they throw my way, I'd be like, you know, if they want to work with me, I'll work that. Let's go for it. You know, I, you know, this business is not only all about doing great work, but you gotta be, you want people to want to work with you, you know, and I'm lucky enough to have, I think, a reputation, knock on wood, where the women are like, we've heard he's great to work with. He's easy to work with. He brings it. And that's important, because that's what's going to build that chemistry on screen. Cause if you're have an ego, or you want it to be about you, or, you know, or I don't want to work with him or her, it's just, you're already coming out of the gates in a negative way, and it doesn't help. And the audience is going to see through that. I mean, if Eric can find a bracelet around my wrist, I'm sure he couldn't, he'll notice if there's no chemistry with two people.
Yeah. And then I'll never hear the end of it.
A lot of women, I just show up on set and I just meet them, and I'm like, wow, I've never met them before. How's this going to go? Very lucky.
When we talked to Benjamin Harris, that's kind of what he alluded to, was saying that because the Hallmark, it's kind of like an old studio where you guys all work together, that if somebody was difficult, you would get purged out of there. And so usually he's like, everyone we work with is so great because you kind of are self-vetted. The ones who are not are no longer in the Hallmark family. And so it's always, you know, if you're with a Hallmark person, you know, it's going to go well.
Yeah, I've had people ask me, you know, mostly at the airport, cause I travel so much, you know, why do they always use the same people? And I say, for two reasons. One, because the fans want to see those actors and actresses. Two, they usually have great chemistry. But also three, these movies are done so fast. You're done in 15 days. You get maybe two takes if you're lucky. And to make something believable, character-wise, or the story, and to make it entertaining and real and honest and all those different emotional levels, you got to have the actors that can do that. And sometimes, and I mean, I remember my very, very first Hallmark movie was All My Heart, the very first one. And the first 3 or 4 days, I kind of drowned. I was like, whoa, this is fast. What's going on? Because I came from serious television or features or whatever. And then once I hooked into the mechanism of how they work, I went, oh, okay. And then you learn it. But it's a skill. And that's why you see so many of us doing so many of them, because we can make something really good with as little time to prep. You get a movie, you've got 4 or 5 days to prep. You fly in, you meet an actress you've never worked for. They're cast out of the other old local characters. You get a couple takes and you're going. And you know, 9 times out of 10, you hope you made a good product. But if you're looking to do 10, 50, I have friends of mine, a couple of buddies of mine that have done a Hallmark movie here and there, and they're like, it's hard. It's so hard because I want to have 10 takes. You can't come to set trying to find it. You got to come to set to deliver it. And it's which I enjoy. I really enjoy that pace.
So you kind of led right into what my next question was going to be about chemistry. So my understanding is from the first time you worked with Lacey, you two didn't know each other before, and somehow two got connected.
And that's not true, Eric. We hadn't really met or worked together, but I did a series on, it was the flagship show on Lifetime called Strong Medicine, that just moved from New York. It was my first show I ever did, and she did a guest star. I had no scenes with her, but one of the scenes that I'd shot with Janine Turner, the next scene after that, I was off, and she was doing it with Lacey. So I'd met her because I'd watched Party of Five. I was a fan of the show, but it was nice to meet you, and I'm a big fan of the show, and then that was it. But when I got on All My Heart, the very first movie, yeah, I really did not know of her. And the very first scene we shot, it was like I knew her forever. It was the easiest thing. I just went, wow, this is weird, uncanny. So yeah, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where that, why that happens. It just, sometimes you get magic in a bottle, you know?
Well, that was my question. It's like, you do just randomly get paired with the person who, like I say, you met them, but, and now it's, you guys are sort of the couple. There's Andrew and Nikki, and like, you guys are the ones who people always just want to see together because you have such fantastic chemistry. And it's just kind of a weird coincidence, I guess, then, huh? How it just was matched.
Truth told, she was also very, very available when I met her. I mean, she was already a star on the network. I hadn't done anything on Hallmark, and I remember asking her at the hotel, can we sit down and have lunch and just spend some time together, just getting to comfortable with each other, building a little bit of camaraderie. And she was open to it. Some people aren't, but she was. I like to meet the people I work with, maybe go out for dinner or have a drink, or just to kind of make each other comfortable and see about, you know, our nuances, so they feel comfortable, so we can go to those places in the story. And she was lovely. And so when we got on set, we'd already met, you know, had a conversation for an hour, and it made it a lot easier. But you know, like, those two characters are, they're from different sides of the tracks. And so our ability, our inability to really be comfortable with each other radiated in the chemistry, because it was real. That's how these people were, you know, so it worked. But yeah, no, we're dear friends, and we haven't worked together in a number of years now, so we'll see what the future holds. But yeah, I can see why the fans want it, and hopefully we'll have a chance to bring them some more content together.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of wardrobe on the different sets that you were on, Flower Shop or Crossword Mysteries, was there anything that you wore that you kept, like maybe your leather jacket or your police badge?
I do. I'm allowed to. There's been, I kept the, I, there's a green jacket. Yeah, I've kept a couple of things. Very rarely. Like, I might, yeah, it was a pair of jeans I really like because they fit right. And then I had a leather jacket. I did take the leather jacket from Crossword. I did. Yeah. It allowed me to have it. But yeah, I sometimes, not because I take it because it's the character and I want to hold on to it because it's part of the, just because I like it and it's something that I really enjoy wearing. So it's rare, but I do. Usually it's a jacket, you know what I mean? Like, I think there was one movie, but there was a brown leather jacket I was wearing, and I kind of liked that. And so sometimes I'll still, you know, I'll go for a walk or something. Oh, I like this jacket. I remember I did this, whatever. But yeah, you know, sometimes you have to buy it off the production, obviously. You know, and there's been a few things. There was a movie I did. I had a long, I think it was, I don't know which one it was. It was a Christmas movie, but it was a long green kind of coat, and it just, they sized it on me, fit perfectly, and I loved it. And I had to buy it off them. I said, can I buy this jacket? I want to take it. They're like, absolutely. Because, you know, when you do these movies, they just go into a warehouse and they sit there for the next production. I've worn so many clothes from other Hallmark actors. it's vice versa, I'm sure. You know, I'm probably, Benjamin Ayers and I have probably shared jackets on every movie we've done together. But no, it's a few pieces. Yeah, a few for sure. If I like it a lot, yeah.
Great.
All right. Well, last question, and kind of getting away from just the specific movies, but you've also been executive produced a few of the movies that you've been in. So just curious, what do you do differently from an executive producer? What does that entail? Or is it just a way that you can get an extra check? Or do you actually have to do some work for that?
Yeah, no extra check. But I want it, you know, it's funny. I think I'm more selective now of what I want to executive produce, because I really wanted to be a part of the process from the development on. With Crossword, we were very instrumental from the development phase, the script, the cast, what actors we liked, what we didn't like, making notes. Nikki and I didn't executive produce it, and neither did she, but on Gift of Peace, we practically every scene we would do a rewrite on different things to make things seem more heartfelt, or because we're in the trenches, the writer isn't really there and things aren't working, so we'll try different stuff. But and I've pitched a couple of ideas over the years to them, and there's one that we're working on now, possibly my own franchise, that I think that it'll be from the beginning of development, get the script, I'll hire the writer, you know, we'll develop it together, be in the casting community, maybe even direct one down the road if I feel like I know the nuance of the show. That's kind of where I was thinking. On some of them, you don't really get a chance to be a part of it because it's so insulated that the production company on the ground's already got everything lined up. And then when you want to be an executive producer, decisions, it's just you're already too late to the game, you know? But like with Lacey and the Wedding Veils, I think she was a part of it right from the start of the idea. And so I kind of, that interests me. I mean, not something I'm going to be hunting for content to bring to the network every day, but if I find something I really like, not only as an actor, I'd like to kind of be a part of the creative development of it. It makes it feel more rewarding because sometimes you're doing a movie and you love it, and the content's great and everything's wonderful, but you see there's holes in there. You see there's a couple of crossword movies that I was like, this is not working. We should maybe change this. And I was vetoed, obviously, because I'm just, but there's times when you really, you know, my favorite crossword, and this is my only personal, I mean, I like them all for different reasons, but I was really partial to Abracadabra. And I think just because I felt like that was a idea. Jonathan Wright's a great director. It had mood, it had humor, it had really rich characters. It had romance. I love the end of the movie. So there's a lot of things that I was instrumental in, as was Lacey, with the director just fine tuning little things. But on these, they're so fast, you don't have a lot of time to do that. But I do have a couple ideas working with some producers on the ground and with the network now and developing something. And so I think if you're really executive producer, you're a part of the process from beginning to end. But sometimes you're right. You know, Eric, I mean, there's sometimes people, I did a movie called All Summer Long. I didn't have anything to do with it creatively because I was brought in last minute. It was a real rush thing. And I helped the other executive producer on it because she was new to the Hallmark thing. So we worked together in that framework, but there was less for me to do because we were rushed. But yeah, I mean, some you do more and some you don't. And I know there's lots of people that, yeah, you're right. They get the extra credit or maybe they get an extra check. That hasn't happened for me. I want to be a part of the process if I can. The All in My Heart, The Wedding, and not the second one so much, but The Wedding, we were pretty instrumental in a lot of the story in there. And dealing with, you know, the music. I remember we really fought for Train on that because that was my wedding song. And I said, I heard it, but somebody knew somebody, I knew somebody, and that person led to the wife, and we kind of got a deal for a certain amount of time of that song. So it worked out wonderful. And it really made the scene. That song, Marry Me, is, I mean, if you haven't heard that song, I mean, and it's a Grammy winning song, got a piece of it in our movie, but it took a lot of executive producing work, whatever that means, to do that. But that was what was important to me. And you know, I always believe the people that really are the EPs are the people that have the money. They make the big decisions and you just kind of accept it. But sometimes if they trust you creatively, they're like, I like that actress. She came in. I know she's not as got a resume like maybe somebody else. And I know she might be a little more expensive or whatever, but I love her. She's perfect. You know, they'll listen to you, like Lacey or myself or Andrew or Nikki or Ashley or whoever's been around for a while. And so I'm excited to further more executive producing. People have asked me to direct some of these and I just haven't, I'm interested and the passion's starting to build. It just hasn't been the right one yet. So yeah, I mean, I love making them and hopefully I can continue to do 2, 3, or 4 a year for years to come. I love doing them.
All right. Well, we'd love to see you in 2, 3, 4 more.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to your new project. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's slow moving, but I'm excited about it. And we're just locking down, you know, these mystery series, they kind of overlap a lot of them sometimes. Like they're, you know, it's a mystery. It's someone dies, and I want to find something that's kind of out of the box, a little different. You know, and don't want to share some of the ideas, but I had a really great idea that kind of fell through a number of years ago. And so I'm kind of piggybacking on that and seeing if we can kind of rebirth it somehow. And they've been really open. They're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, let's discuss it. Let's collaborate. What do the fans want? What is something they want to see that maybe we aren't doing? You know, we're in the culture now where we have diversity and we have, I'm just talking, you know, gender or religion or color of your skin or whatever. I'm talking, or sexual orientation. I'm talking diverse content. We have so much content out there. And there's an audience for everything. And if we just kind of execute it right, I think it could be a success. And yeah. And hopefully we can 3 or 4 or 5, like we did with Flower Shop or Crossword, like extend it for a number of years and make it a real franchise so people can get invested. Because I think the audience, the fans, they get invested in these characters. And when yes. they stop, really, really ornery about it. Not, no. And I love playing Logan. It was a really great character that, you know, you want to continue to do, but there'll be something else. There's always something around the corner. One door closes, another one opens. So.
All right. Well, as we say goodbye, is there anything that you can share with us?
No, I can't yet. Can't yet. Eric was light, and he almost had me. He almost had
me. We'll beep it out.
No, I have to keep on. There's a lot of exciting. I know there's a couple of projects for sure that the fans are going to lose it when they hear about it. And then there's my franchise in the early stages, but it's something extremely exciting that I'm excited about. But you know, once I'm given the green light to speak about it, Hallmark likes to do the speaking about it on their behalf first, which I respect. Right. So I'll keep mum's the word, keep people in. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think. Was Gift of Peace, and I have like all my fans are like, when's the next movie? Like, what's going on? It's like, hurry up! Like, so I'm sure I'll be working here shortly on something that they'll love. But I just want to say, I've seen your podcast, I've seen other actors on it. You guys do a great job, and you're not just a podcast. You like the movie, you guys are you're obviously very educated in these movies, and you guys have a great bent on it, and it's that's one of the reasons I wanted to be on. I love the show, and so thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for that. Okay,
and if you go to Georgia, you give me a call and I'll join you.
I gotta go on a Saturday night. I gotta go on cheat night where it's Saturday and he can have some red meat.
yeah. Okay. Well, you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for giving this time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
All right, Sydney. So you got to meet your favorite there, Brennan Elliott. How was it?
I don't even know. I'm just, he's so beyond nice, and he's so like everything you'd hope he would be in real life, that I'm just so pleased that we had this opportunity, and I'm going to fangirl and geek out for the rest of the day, maybe weekend. What about you?
Well, I'll let you do that because no, I am not a fan of Brennan Elliott, because on a Saturday afternoon, as he's just hanging at his house, he's still sickeningly good looking and just so handsome. Such a good guy. And as you said, he couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been nicer. So,
so nice.
But damn it, why does he have to be so good looking? All right.
And charismatic. And I mean, we could just keep going, Eric.
Yes. I get it. Yes, I get it. All right. And then it's great that he's going to be putting us in his next movie.
As the dead body.
Yes. And the new project that he's working on that he didn't quite mention, but did say it's coming. And I think you are going to be. Woman in Bar 3 while I'm Dead Body 4.
I like Woman in Bar 3. I'll take it, and I will make a drink for this movie.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope everyone enjoyed our conversation with him. We know we did. As usual, please leave a review. Let us know what you think. If you're enjoying it, give us some stars. That would be awesome. It helps us get discovered by other Hallmark fans, and we really, really appreciate it.
And if you are looking for more mystery content, including our upcoming March Mystery Madness, head on over to Hallmark Mysteries and More on Instagram, where you can look at our website and you can find much more mystery fun,
including our March Mystery Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also will have our crossword puzzle mysteries are up there for anyone. So that's hallmarkmysteriesandmore.com. All right, our next episode, we will be discussing the cases of Mystery Lane, which we'll finally be able to see. You excited?
I'm so excited for a new mystery, Eric. So excited.
Do you have any doubts it's not going to be spectacular?
No. I mean, Paul's in it. I don't know Amy, but she looks fabulous. So I think it'll be cool.
The more I...
What about you?
I'm excited. The more I see of her, the more I'm excited. I think she's going to be a fantastic Birdie Lane. So I in just the little clips that they've shared, it looks like it's going to be a fun movie.
Yeah, and I can't wait to make a cocktail out of the name Birdie.
I think you need to go lay down, relax, try to decompress from our last hour we got to spend talking to Brennan. So
I need a cocktail.
Yes, nice stiff drink just to all right.
Calm down there.
I feel bad for your husband for today because you're just going to be talking Brennan Elliott all day.
Because he's going to drive me to Georgia's right now where we camp out until we see Brennan. Okay. Just kidding.
So, no, I know. Yeah, I know. All right. With that, have a great day, Sydney.